to continue to go to the well and go to the well of God's word. We're continuing our series going through the book of Proverbs, kind of doing a survey of it called Proverbs Wisdom. I hope you've been enjoying it as much as I have. This week, we're going to talk about money. And if you don't frequent churches very often, you might be thinking, see, I knew it. Church is always talking about money. The reality is that Jesus was always talking about money. Did you know that? 11 of his 39 parables in the Gospels were about money. Luke's Gospel in particular was very much about money. Money is mentioned a lot, which makes total sense because Luke, who was a physician, wrote the book of Luke, and he kind of centered in on Jesus's humanity and our humanity. So our humanity cannot help but to touch money. And so if you're struggling with money this morning, both from a standpoint of you need some, but more just the constant battle that goes on in our soul, I think all of us want to be generous and want to be givers, but then there's fear, there's doubt, there's unbelief that kind of mixes together, and there's this battle in our members. And so if you're particularly going through that, I'd really suggest the two places in the Bible that money is talked about the most is the book of Luke and the book of Proverbs that we're going through. I actually want to start this morning in the book of Luke. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. This morning we're talking about money matters because money matters. Right? It really, truly does. We cannot live our lives without money, or at least without something to barter with. And this is not anything different about our society now or our generation now than it was since the beginning of time. Money or currency or something to barter with, something to obtain goods and services, has always been something that humanity needs and humanity depends upon. Sometimes in lieu of depending on God. But God works within the system of money. So Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Isn't that great? Evidently, two brothers or brother and sister, somebody, siblings were fighting over their parents' inheritance. So they go to the Messiah. They go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, you seem like you have authority. Tell him to divide the inheritance with me." Verse 14, Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Guys, we are continually bombarded with a different message. The message that we hear in entertainment world, in the business world, even in our friendships, is you are a success if you die with the most toys. That, look what I have, you don't have that. And so we have this mentality that rises up in us that says, I want to have what everybody else has, even if that means I'm going to go into debt. Uh-oh, I might be stepping on someone's toes this morning. But Jesus said to be on our guard. And so this morning, we need to be on our guard. Would you agree with that? Because that is, I'm no different than you are. That is something that I have to be on guard for as well. That's something that sometimes I allow to creep in, that why can't I have what other people have? There's a danger in that. It's a danger because most of the time that has to do with greed. Verse 16. Then he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Pretty good problem to have, right? Too much crop, not enough storage. Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns," because they're small, they're insignificant, "and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, on the surface, that sounds very wise. Your accountant, your advisor would tell you something very similar. And I'm even here to say that savings are good. It's wise to save for a rainy day. It's wise to save for your retirement. On the surface, it seems like that's all this guy's doing. Man, Jesus, get off his back. Goodness. Verse 20. But God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Some translations say your soul will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself, here's the kicker, but is not rich toward God. See, God looks at man's heart. He looks at this man's heart of he was really greedy. He wanted more and more and more for himself because he wanted to live easy. He didn't want to be gracious towards others, and he certainly did not want to be gracious towards God. There's nothing wrong with saving. What's wrong is when we just want to look out for number one and we forget about the actual number one, God. Proverbs says a lot about money, and so this morning we're going to dig into that with this parable in mind. I want you to be truthful and honest. How many people sometimes are tempted about money? Some of you guys, fantastic, great. Maybe God tempts you in other ways. Great. But ways that we're tempted in money is maybe to just bend the truth a little bit in order to make a sale. Maybe not report something to the income tax so that we have a little bit more money in our pocket. Maybe if we're convinced that tithing is something that God wants us to do, maybe I just won't give the full 10%. It's close enough. God understands. These are some of the temptations that we get. Or not to mention the temptation of stealing, the temptation of cheating. These temptations are all around us. Why? Because the person next to us has a little bit more than we do. Proverbs 27:20 says, death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are the eyes of man. My dad used to tell me when I'd go through the line of particularly buffet or something like that and just mound my plate up with food, and I'd be eating, and then all of a sudden, oh, I'm so full, I can't eat the rest. He would always say this, I'm sure your parents said the same thing. Your eyes were bigger than your stomach, wasn't it, boy? The reality was, yeah, that's true. My eyes, my desire for more was larger than what I could handle. Likewise, it's the same thing with us. Sometimes our desire for more, it's never satisfied. Never satisfied, and we can't handle it. We can't handle it spiritually. We can't handle it mentally. We can't handle it physically. We want more. We do more. We work more. We borrow more because we want more. Proverbs 16:8 says, better a little with righteousness, doing it the right way, being in right standing with God, being able to lay your head on the pillow at night knowing you did an honest day's work, than much gain with injustice. Better to go to bed with a little and have a clear conscience, be in good relationship with God, than to cheat or swindle or bend the rules and have much. Proverbs 13:11 says, dishonest money dwindles away. You're going to get it. Sometimes you'll get away with it, but it just dwindles away. But he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. God wants us to be honest with our dealings with money. It's not just about money with God. My brother Bill, before offering, made a great point that he wants us to be good stewards. And if we're not good stewards with our finances, with our money, how can we be good stewards with higher things, higher spiritual things, gifts and callings that he wants to give us, that he wants to use us to advance his kingdom. How are we going to be held responsible and worthy of those callings if we can't even handle our finances? Proverbs 21:6 says, a fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. Sometimes we fall in the trap of lying a little bit. Sales is probably the worst. And those of you who are in sales, it doesn't mean that you're a liar. It just means your temptation to lie may be greater than somebody else's. Because you depend on that paycheck. You depend on feeding your family. And sometimes that temptation to bend the truth, to lie, to say something is good when it's not really good, to say something is cheaper here when it's actually not and you know it, gets in the way of, I want to earn money. God looks at our hearts. God looks at our minds. He looks at every little decision that we make during the day. It's not just going to church. It's not just sharing the gospel with other people that he's concerned with. It's the little devices. It's the little mechanisms in our minds and in our hearts. Scripture says it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that messes up our soul, messes up our heart before God and before others. Sometimes we cry out to God, God, I don't get it. I don't see what's going on. And it's because we're not doing something right with our money. Proverbs 23, 4 through 5. Verse 4, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Just going to let that set for a minute. I think this plagues this society more than anything else. More than even lying and cheating to get money, is we wear ourselves out to get rich. Maybe we'll never be what society calls rich, being a millionaire, but we want to have more. We want to have better belongings. We want to live a better lifestyle. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but when we wear ourselves out, when we wear our relationships out around us, in order to get that, the payoff is not worth it. You may not be an alcoholic, but you may be a workaholic. What is our motivation? Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Listen, I understand you may have to work 50 hours a week. I get it. I understand. I know what the cost of living is. I understand that. But I also understand when you don't really have to work 50 hours, but you choose to. God wants us to show restraint in everything that we do. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. We can amass all kinds of wealth, but somebody's going to get it. We can't take it with us. It's been said you never see a U-Haul trailer on the back of a hearse. You can't take it with you. So the doctors are going to get it, or your greedy relatives are going to get it. Somebody's going to get it. It's going to flee away. But I'm here to tell you, money is not evil. Money itself is not evil. The most misquoted scripture, I think, of all is the root of all evil is money, or money is the root of all evil. Have you heard that quoted? Most of us probably think that's exactly how it says it in scripture. No. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. See, God is concerned with our hearts, with our motivation, with our love. He loves us, and he wants us to love him. Scripture says if we love him, we will obey his commandments. He's concerned with our love. What are we in love with? When we're in love with money, it is the root of all evil. All kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs because it becomes their God. Perhaps it's become some of our gods in here. Maybe for a short time, maybe for a long time, maybe right now it's your God. The cool thing is God is a God of second chances. He wants you to run to him now. He's not going to look at you serving the God of money and think, I can't do anything with this person. He's drawing you to himself. Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. This is a plea. This is Solomon begging the Lord for two things. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Here's why. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? One of the reasons the United States is one of the hardest grounds for missions work, hardest hearts, is because we don't need God. We do need God, but we don't think we need God because we have doctors, because we have money, because we have possessions, because we have entertainment. We have so much. And so we, in some ways, say, who's the Lord? I don't need him. I've got what I need. Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. He wants us to have balance. There's a gospel being preached that says the king's kids, God's kids, should be rich, should have their own private jets. I do not agree with that gospel. I do not see that in Scripture. I see this in Scripture, that he wants us to have our daily bread. He wants to bless us so that we can bless others, not so that we can tear down our barns and build bigger ones. He wants us to honor him with our money. He wants us to honor him with everything. When you hear the word worship, what do you think of? Somebody. Singing. Yeah, and that's definitely a part of worship. We put great emphasis on worship here at the church. We want to worship him in song, but worship is about what we do with our decisions. Worship is what we do with our lifestyle. Worship is bowing down before God, making him first, honoring his name. And so we must worship God with our money as well. That's why we clap over offering. That's why we get excited. That's why we talk about money freely, not because we're begging for money, but money is a big part of human society. So we need to honor God with our money, and that is worship. That's worship before him. The same, or maybe even more so, than singing a song to him. Proverbs 3, 5 through 10, the first part, everybody loves, everybody memorizes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Key word there, submit. The word submit means to yield. The same way as there's two cars at a yield sign. Whoever has the right of way, the other car has to yield. Jesus has the right of way always. We must yield to him, so we must submit to his order. And he will make our path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. In context, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. He wants our best. He wants our first. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Don't tear them down and build other ones. He just wants to overflow our barns so that we can give to others. And your vats will brim over with new wine. It's a promise. Deuteronomy 8:18, the first part of that verse says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. You might think it's your incredible talent for doing X, Y, and Z. He gave you that incredible talent so that you could get the money that you get. It's from God. Everything is God's. Deuteronomy 14:23 says, the purpose of tithing, now it comes around, is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. The whole concept of tithing is for us more than it is even for God. Did you know that? It's to remind us to put God first. So we take from our first fruits what we gain, and we say, God, I want you to have the first tenth of it. And what's cool is God gives us 90% to do with. That's the whole concept of tithing. It's not legalistic. It's not something you have to do or you're not getting to heaven. It's not something you have to do or God's not happy with you. It's to remind us to put things in order. Submit, again, is to place in the right order, to yield to that order. Proverbs, we continue with chapter 14, verse 31. He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. We honor God with our wealth, not just with tithes, not just giving to people, but making sure that we take care of the needy. Something that maybe we didn't think of before, maybe something that wasn't impressed upon us before. This very much honors God when we take care of those without. Another proverb, Proverb 19:17. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. It's truly about the heart. God is not concerned with our actual money. Our currency, the U.S. dollar, is not being used in heaven right now as we speak. To the best of my knowledge. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think I am. He doesn't need our money. He's the God that has 1,000 cattle on hills, Scripture says. He gives us wealth. He gives us the ability to make wealth. He doesn't need money. He desires. He requires our heart. He requires our love, our devotion, our submission. Proverbs 11, verses 3 through 4. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Their duplicity. Are we living two lives? With our money? With other things? You can tell a lot about a person by looking at their checkbook. You can tell a lot about a church by looking at what a church spends money on. Where's our heart? Are we double-minded? Book of James says if we're double-minded, we're unstable in all our ways. All our ways, not just with finances. It touches everything. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. He desires our love. He desires our devotion. He desires our submission. And therefore, we are righteous because he is righteous. We are placed in Christ Jesus. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Period. If Jesus' ministry on this earth was about anything, it was about this. He came proclaiming the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God means the king's domain. He was here to announce he's the king, and this, especially your heart, my heart, is his domain. Our biggest temptation with money or with anything else is to serve two masters. It's to serve God, but at the same time serve ourselves and our wants and our needs. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. What Jesus is saying is if we serve something else other than him, we are actually despising him. And we want to say, no, God, whoa. Easy. That's a little aggressive, isn't it? This is Jesus speaking. That's how he views it. He's a jealous God. You cannot serve both God and money. Money is given in order to serve God better. Last scripture, Matthew 6:21. Jesus sums it up really well. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I want you to think about it for a minute. Where is your treasure? What are the things that we treasure most? That's where your heart is. That's the greatest indication, Jesus says, of where your heart is. That's where your mind is. That's where your soul is. Is wherever your treasure is. What are you treasuring? I'd like to ask you to stand with me. I want us to pray over money. It's something that is so vital in our lives. Something that until some other form of currency or way of doing business and obtaining goods and services comes about, this is what we have. And we have to live within it. But we have to serve and worship God within it. So I want to lead us in prayer. And the prayers will be on the screen, as we've done every week for the series of Proverbs. God, we ask for integrity. God, give us integrity for the way that we look at money, the way that we obtain money, the way that we think about money, the way we hold on to money, the way that we spend money. Lord, give us integrity. Lord, I pray that the way that we approach money would be very telling of our relationship with you to others. Lord, may it glorify you the way that we correspond with money. Help us, Lord. Give us pure hearts, Lord. Clean hands. Give us your integrity, Lord. Lord, help us to be strong against the temptation. Lord, we pray for our daily bread. Lord, we echo Solomon who wrote, begging you for not riches, but also to not be poor. So that we wouldn't have so much that we say, who's God? And that we wouldn't have so little that we have to steal and therefore sin against you. Lord, when you walked this earth and the disciples asked, how should we pray? One of the things you prayed as a model for us is, give us this day our daily bread. So Lord, if it was good enough for you, it's certainly good enough for us. God, we ask for our daily bread. Lord, please provide for our needs. I pray that those families, Lord, that are hungry in our congregation and without, Lord, that you would feed them. Lord, you would give them their daily bread. Lord, I pray for families here in this congregation that need work. Lord, that you would provide a job. Lord, that you would provide for their every need. Not our every want, Lord, but our every need. God, give us wisdom. Lord, life is about decisions. When we wake up, we have to decide what to wear. We have to decide what we're going to do, what we're going to eat. Lord, give us wisdom in those decisions. Again, that they would glorify you, that they would glorify your heart, that it would look more and more when we look in the mirror and when others look at us, that we're getting closer and closer to looking like you. Give us wisdom with our decisions when it pertains to money. Lord, give us increase. God, we don't want so much that we forget about you, but Lord, if you deem it worthy, Lord, if you deem us capable of being good stewards of the increase, we ask for increase, Lord. Not so that we have more, not so that we tear down our barns, but so that we can do more, so that we can be more of a blessing to others. God, I pray that you would make us compassionate and passionate givers. Lord, that you would take away fear in the name of Jesus. Fear that if we give this to someone else, if we give this to the church, if we give this to a missionary, that then we won't have anything. Lord, take away that fear. Lord, show us the incredible law that you have of sowing and reaping. God, teach us. Help us to be compassionate towards others and passionate towards you. And Lord, finally, I pray that we would be a blessing. Lord, that you would raise up givers in this church. Lord, that we would be a blessing to others. And God, we'll leave the, what are they going to do with the money up to you? Again, help us to have wisdom in that, but ultimately, you know. Help us to just do what you're telling us to do. Lord, we love you, and I pray that you would touch our finances, you would touch our minds. Lord, that you would remove this obstacle, remove this false god from us, Lord. That we would not serve two masters, but we would serve only you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue with one more worship.